So, a couple of years ago, a colleague and I needed to do some team building exercises with a group of leaders. We had an outdoor team building obstacle course, you know, the ones that have got like the walls and things like that. The problem was this team of leaders had done these activities before. So we knew that they were going to be able to get through them relatively quickly, and we wanted something to just add a little bit of uncertainty into the mix. Does anybody here remember the old TV show The Mole? Yeah, we've got a couple of hands. So The Mole was a TV show where they had competitions of team building things, but there was one person who was trying to sabotage every activity. So we told this group of leaders, all right, we've talked to up to three people and told them that their only job in this team obstacle course is to make sure that you guys don't complete the activities. Everybody took a step away from each other, and everybody started looking very suspiciously at everybody else. What was great for us who were facilitating this was they went into the first activity, and every time somebody made a mistake, fingers were getting pointed. You are the mole. You're one of the people who's trying to sabotage this. Now, my friend and I were trying to not laugh because the thing was, we hadn't actually picked anyone. Because we thought this is going to be a really nice thing to bring out and out of a facilitated activity. But what actually happened was, the further that the team got into the activities, the less they started looking for who the mole was, and the more they just started doing the activities. The more activities they completed, even when people made mistakes, there wasn't the finger pointing, oh, you must be the mole. Instead, they just started working together. And it was quite surprising because that wasn't what we were expecting to happen from the activity. But people's actions showed they were wanting the entire team to win. People's actions showed more than the overall instructions. And it was a beautiful lesson that day of the idea that actions speak louder than words. Tonight, we are continuing our journey through the book of Romans. And over the course of this year, we've been starting to unpack Romans, sometimes just a couple of verses, like last week with two verses, or the week before we did three chapters. But the book of Romans was written by Paul to the church in Rome, and it was to address a specific issue. See, in the Roman church, there were the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. And the Jewish Christians had been kicked out of Rome for a while, so the Gentile Christians had taken over leadership of the church, but now the Jewish Christians were back. And so the question was, who is in charge? And as we are entering chapter 12 now, Paul has dealt with the idea. Paul has dealt with both groups and shown that both of these groups are important. Both of these groups matter to God. God has chosen both of these groups to be part of his church. And tonight, we're going to see as Paul moves into some more practical matters with verses 3 to 8. So let's have a look at our passage for tonight. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly, or do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Back in verse 3, it says, I say to every one of you. This passage, this message that Paul is trying to share is to both the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians. And it's to us. It's the same message. It is the same idea that he wants to share with everyone. And in verse 5, it says, in Christ we, though many, form one body. The overall message of this section, in fact, the overall message of the book of Romans is around the idea of unity, of many people being one, working for one goal, one purpose. And Paul is bringing together the points that he's been working on throughout the entire book, and he's reminding both the Jewish and the Gentile Christians, you are part of one body, one church. And yet, it's great to say that this is about unity. But the thing that Paul teaches here and the thing that comes out of this passage is that unity is not static. Unity is not a description. Unity is not just something that we say we do. Instead, unity is a verb. Now, in case you just need a bit of a reminder about English grammar, a verb is a doing word. What Paul wants us to understand from this is unity is not something that you just say that you ascribe to. It is something you actually have to engage with. It is something you actually have to live out. It is something that you do and you choose to work towards. And so Paul, here in Romans, is saying to the Jewish Christians, he's saying to the Gentile Christians, he's saying to us, you are all part of the one body. Though many, you all form one body, you all form one group. You're all part of the kingdom of God. But it's not enough to just say that you wear the same uniform. It's not enough to just say that you have the name Christian and that's enough. Instead, you actually have to work towards it. You have to engage with it. You have to do something. And so in this passage, there are three ideas that Paul brings up that he shares with us about what unity is and how we actually live this out, how we actually do unity. And the first one comes from verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. The first thing that Paul wants us to understand about unity is that unity requires humility. But the thing is, when we think about humility, it's this fascinating idea that lots of people misunderstand. Because I've heard lots of people talk about humility as humility means that you can't say that you're actually good at something, because that's prideful. Humility means that you can't say that you're good at something or you have skills in something, because that's pride. And so people get frightened off from being able to acknowledge what they might be able to do well. The thing is, that is a really poor idea of what humility is. The best definition of humility that I have ever heard came from my youth pastor many, many years ago. And he said that humility means having an accurate view of yourself. Humility is about having an honest view of yourself, that you're not thinking of yourself that you're great and you can do all things. But it's also not dismissing the things that you are gifted at, the things that you are good at. And this idea of humility, about having an accurate and honest look at yourself, this is what Paul talks about in verse 3. So he says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. That's pride. That's thinking that you're great, that you can do all things, because, spoiler alert, you can't. None of us can. None of us are perfect at everything or great at everything. And when we think more highly of ourselves, that forces us to go, well, I don't need other people because I'll just do it myself. Paul says, don't think more highly of yourself. Don't have that prideful thought. But instead, think of yourself with sober judgment. That term, sober judgment, it could also be translated self-controlled or right mind. It's this idea of having an honest look at yourself, an accurate look at yourself. He goes on to say, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Humility is about having an accurate picture of yourself, actually acknowledging the things that you are good at, but knowing that you're not great at everything. True humility is this hanging around in the middle with this accurate view of who you are and this honest view. And unity requires this mindset. Unity requires us to actually engage with humility, to engage with this honest look at ourselves. Because it acknowledges that we're not great at everything, so we need help. It acknowledges that we don't have the ability to do everything ourselves or to do it well, and so we need other people. But at the same time, humility encourages us to realize we have something to contribute to others. See, humility helps us ask the question, what do I have to offer God's people? Because God has given us all gifts. He's distributed gifts to all of us according to our faith. I have something to offer the people of God. You have something to offer the people of God. And we need humility to be able to understand what that is. We need humility to have this accurate view of ourselves so that we know what is it that God is calling on us to contribute and to share. Paul continues with verses 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. This idea of a body is one of those famous pictures of the church. It's used a couple of times in the New Testament, and it's this beautiful idea that enables us to think about, well, we've all got a body. We've all got these different parts that work together. We can relate to it. There is something beautiful when we think about the kingdom of God in this way, that this highlights unity, it highlights connection, it highlights supporting each other and working for each other. And as many times as I've heard this image shared over the years, I've never actually noticed the end of verse 5 before. And it caught my eye this week, where it says, each member belongs to all of the others. Because the truth about unity is unity brings obligation to others. And that's a really uncomfortable kind of feeling, because we don't like the idea of being obligated or having responsibility for lots of other people. I mean, we've got obligations and responsibility to family. We've got obligations and responsibility to our workplaces, to an extent, our friends. But this is an obligation to the body of Christ. That is a lot of people. That is a big amount of people that I have a responsibility to. And yet, there's also something beautiful about this idea of belonging, of being part of something bigger than ourselves, of being greater, of belonging to something greater than just ourselves. That I'm not just me, but I belong to those around me. And yes, I might have obligations and responsibilities to them.
There's the edge.
But they also have obligations and responsibilities to me. And when we think about the context in which Paul wrote this, he was writing to the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. And he was wanting the Jewish Christians to understand that they had a responsibility to seek the success of the Gentile Christians. And for the Gentile Christians to understand that they had an obligation to the Jewish Christians that they would succeed, that they would be able to do what they are called to do. And it is this mutual obligation, this mutual responsibility between both groups that is so important. Because without that, this easily becomes an opportunity for abuse of power and for people to be used. But with that mutual obligation, with that mutual responsibility, there is something beautiful that comes of this. Because we belong to each other. We want the others to succeed. And so there's an understanding that if I want unity in the body of Christ, I need to understand that I have an obligation to the people around me. I have responsibilities to them. But more than that, I have an obligation to the church down the road as well. I have a responsibility to support them. I have a responsibility to support and encourage the church in a local community 300 k's away or on the other side of the globe, because we are all part of one body. And when we understand this idea, when we have this mindset that understands the obligation and responsibility, it forces us to consider the question, as I go about my life, am I seeking to build others up? Or am I just trying to build myself up? As I seek to do things for the kingdom of God, as I seek to share who Jesus is with others, am I doing it just for myself? Or am I doing it for the sake of the whole body? Am I doing it for the sake of others, even when it is hard and even when it does not help me at all? And they're challenging questions to ask, challenging questions to consider. But the thing is, when the kingdom of God prospers, so do all of its people. Paul continues with verses 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Here Paul is sharing about spiritual gifts. And while that is the context that Paul is sharing in, and that's one of those things that people today have very different views on. Are they still for today? Are they not? That's not the real point that Paul's trying to make. Instead, Paul is wanting us to understand that unity means using God's gifts. Unity means actually using the things that God has given us for other people. See, we've all been given gifts by God. We have all got skills and talents and abilities that God has given us. Some people are incredibly gifted at hospitality. And for some people, that looks like opening their homes and welcoming people in. Other people are gifted at hospitality and are quite happy to make meals for 50 people. And then, oh yeah, there's a couple of extra shifts. Let's just bring them in. That's not me at all. I like strict numbers. Let's be prepared. Other people, the idea of hospitality is about welcoming and sitting down for a coffee and getting to know people in a small group or in one-on-one. Other people are gifted at serving. You don't see them up the front, but you see them walking around in the background. They're this kind of person who, even when they're at somebody else's home or maybe they're at an event that they have nothing to do with, but they see a rubbish bin that's full, they're the people who are getting the rubbish bag out of the bin and taking it away and putting a fresh one in. Other people are gifted with their hands. They can repair things. They can make things. Other people are gifted at art or music or all sorts of things. And for some people here today, you're looking at me up the front going, there is no way I would ever want to do that, being up in front of people and sharing. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. We all have different skills according to the way that God has formed us, the way that He has shaped us. And we all are called to bring those gifts to the body of Christ. But the thing about the gifts that Paul highlights is that it's not for the person alone. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. These gifts that he highlights are all for the sake of other people. They are all to be shared with someone else. We haven't been blessed with these gifts for our own sake, but we have been blessed with them to be a blessing to others, to serve the body of Christ, because God wants us to use what he has given us for his body, for unity. Many people coming together for the one purpose. And that may seem really obvious. And yet there are so many reasons that people don't use their gifts. And sometimes people don't use their gifts because when they've tried in the past, somebody's come along and said, oh, no, that's not how you do the gift of hospitality. Hospitality is all about feeding 50 million people. Hospitality is not welcoming people. And so they've been told that their gift is not right. And so they're scared. They don't want to live it out anymore. They don't want to use it. Sometimes people don't give their or use their gifts for the body of Christ because they haven't learned how to actually have an accurate look at themselves. They haven't learned what it means to have humility. They were taught that humility means you can't say you're good at anything. So they're like, oh, I can't say I'm gifted at that because that's prideful and that's wrong. And so they're scared. They don't want to use their gifts. They don't know what they're good at because it's never been encouraged. Sometimes people don't use their gifts for the body of Christ because nobody has ever shared with them or shown them how it could be used for the church. You know, they serve in their workplaces, they use their gifts in the workplace, but nobody's ever shown them how those gifts can be used for God's glory. Sometimes it's because certain roles are gatekept by certain people. Sometimes it's because a ministry doesn't exist because it's waiting for somebody with the right gift to step in. But the thing is, when people don't use their gifts for the body of Christ, gaps appear. There are holes that appear in the body of Christ and needs are there. And so there are people who look up and who see the gaps that are there and they go, well, that's not what I'm good at. But I can see that there's a need, so I'm going to put up my hand and I'm going to help. And do you know what? I love it when people do that. I love it when people are willing to put up their hand and try and serve, because it's so important. But when we are operating outside of our gifting, it's something that needs to only be for a short time, because it is hard and it is tiring and it is overwhelming, and at times it can be so disheartening as well. It can discourage us because it is so hard and we just don't seem to be seeing much because we're working outside of what God has created us and formed us to be. And so people burn out because there are gaps. Because unity means using God's gifts that He has given us. And so the question that this encourages us to think about is, am I using my gifts or am I holding back? And there are so many reasons why we hold back. But the body of Christ wants our gifts and our skills and our abilities, because we belong not just to ourselves, but we have an obligation to those around us. We have a responsibility to the believers around us. But we need humility, that accurate view of ourselves. We need to understand what we're good at to start with before we can start thinking about these other things. And so I wonder, when was the last time that you sat down with God and said, God, help me to answer these questions. God, help me to know, what do I have to offer your people? I want to work towards unity. I want to be part of the body of Christ. Many people, one body, one goal, one purpose. God, what do I have to offer your people? God, how have I been going in building others up? Or God, have I been just building myself up? Help me to see those places, those areas of my life where I do that. And choosing to pause and reflect and actually ask yourself, am I using my gifts, the things that God has given me for His glory? Or am I just holding back? Because we have an obligation and a responsibility to those around us to serve, so that they can serve where they are called to serve as well, so that we can all come together as the body of Christ for God's glory. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the book of Romans. Challenging though it is, but Lord, I thank you for the deep truths that are found within. And Lord God, I thank you that though we are many people, though we have come from many different backgrounds, you are calling us to be unified in your body. But Lord, that is something we are called to work towards. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to seek that unity. Lord, help us to reflect on who you have made us to be, to see ourselves the way you have formed us and shaped us. Lord, help us to understand the obligation and responsibility we have to those around us. And Lord, where we are scared, where we are fearful, to use our gifts. Lord, give us courage to step into those places, to use our gifts the way that you have shaped us and formed us to use them. Because it's all for your glory, Lord. So be with us, we pray. In your name. Amen.